Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Some games just live up to the billing. I realize it's November 12th. I realize that it's game 11 of the year. I realize that the Warriors, oh, by the way, still remain tied atop the Western Conference at 9-2. But some games have so much built into it, you wonder if the storylines are real, right? Klay Thompson's coming back to the Bay Area, but he didn't seem too enthused about it. What is the crowd going to have for him? How is Curry going to play? How is Kerr going to manage against the splash brother that's come home, the prodigal son that has returned? Well, I got to tell you that this game tonight between the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks, in which the Warriors fended off the reigning Western Conference champions 121-117, it had everything. From pregame to postgame, it had everything you want as a fan of sports, as a fan of entertainment, and of course, specifically, as a fan of NBA basketball. Klay Thompson makes his return to Chase Center. The crowd gives the four-time champion his just deserved due, and probably was one of the best tributes I've ever seen across sports. I mean, Klay's connection, as we start there here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings with you, of course. Phone line's open, 888-957-9570. Also the number for the Comcast business text line. I think that that's the first place we have to start, right? Before we get into the game, before we get into Steph Curry, before we get into Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and everything about the big three tonight, the built-in, the sea captain's hats from start to finish, Klay in the building, out of the building, felt the love. It was fantastic. To me, it all started with the connection that Klay Thompson has and has had for over a decade, right? 13 years, 11 seasons with the Golden State Warriors. His connection with the fans has always been paramount. And it's something that I feel like, as a fan of the Golden State Warriors growing up, as an East Bay native, as somebody that was there for 2015 when they won their first championship and saw Klay Thompson in pretty much his youth and his infancy and what would become a dynasty, that connection to the fans was always built on how genuine he was as a person, the love that he seemed to exude for the game of basketball, and his commitment to, of course, his teammates and to the franchise in the Warriors. I have never seen a place, Chase Center, football stadium, however you want to name it, packed pre-tip or pre-beginning the way that it was tonight, especially here at Chase Center. Now, with all due respect to a lot of fans, people kind of tend to file in 2-3 minutes into the basketball game. It begins to warm up, the crowd does, and begins to get full for sellouts, you know, towards the middle part, towards the tail end of the first quarter. Not tonight. It started pregame. I was out there in Thrive City between Chase Center and you know, and Third Street, pardon me. And people were filing in an hour before the game, and it was to see Clay shoot. It was to see Clay before the game, and it was to see Clay wearing number 31 in the Dallas Mavericks jersey, one of the strangest sights that I have ever seen. But they were filing in because they wanted to make sure that they did not miss a second of what I believe was a perfect tribute to what was maybe not a perfect player, but one of the all-time legends in the Bay Area in Klay Thompson. I've never seen Chase Center packed like that, even for the playoffs. Maybe the finals in 2022 pregame, but it's tough for me because I wasn't watching on television. I was sitting in press row here at Chase Center, and to me, I didn't film it. I figured there'd be plenty of footage out there. I just wanted to take it in. And seeing 20,000 Sea Captain's hats before the game rise as one after the anthem did not sit down and give this four times champion, Klay Thompson, who has given just about everything he can to this franchise, literally his ACL, his Achilles, and just about 750 games worth of basketball to the Golden State Warriors, to see them give him the standing ovation that he deserved, that was the video tribute. I know on television on TNT, I think they showed the entirety of the video tribute, but I'm not sure if they got the entire ovation because it wasn't one ovation. It wasn't two ovations. It wasn't even three ovations. I thought the Warriors did a fantastic job of letting the moment sit and letting Klay Thompson bask in the glory that he deserves. Regardless of what happened the last two seasons, Klay Thompson deserved every single second of the love that he got in that basketball game before it even started. The Sea Captain's hats were a perfect touch by the Warriors. From Klay Thompson's entrance, you could tell when he was coming through. For a lot of people that haven't seen it, please go on social media and check that out on 95.7 The Game. But a lot of people, I don't think, especially Klay, expected there to be 400 people waiting for him as he was entering the arena to tip their cap, literally from the time he stepped in Chase Center to the time that he's headed on the way out, and I think he's done with the podium right now, but Klay Thompson absolutely felt the love tonight, and it just goes to show that even though he was trying to downplay it, even though he was saying it's another game in November, he might have sounded a little salty even, he felt the love tonight, and Klay Thompson is someone who wears every single inch of emotion on his shoulders. He couldn't hide it. He could not hide what he was trying to, in my opinion, hide after Sunday's game in Denver when he was asked about returning to the Bay Area. You know, it's early in the season. The wound is probably still fresh. He probably still feels like he might have been wronged by Golden State. But it just goes to show that it was time, but it was also time for him to come back and get the love that he deserved, and I think that everybody understood that he was going to get. So Klay Thompson basked in it, and then once the game started, this is the beautiful part of it. I understand that tonight was Klay's night. It's always Curry's night. It is always Stephen Curry's night, especially in his house. And I think because of Klay's return, and something that was an underlying storyline before the game, Kerr revealed in his pregame interview that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson both discussed last night, whether it was on the phone or in person, we're not sure. But they discussed Curry, who was supposed to be speaking before the game and say some words about his Splash brother in arms and, you know, all the rest. They decided that they should not talk before on the microphone, that they should treat it like they treat every other regular season game. And boy, did they. But it was more than a regular season game. I mean, you could feel it, I'm sure, through the television. It was palpable in the arena. That game was like a playoff game. That game, Curry, Draymond, and Klay, the big three, we'll get to Doncic and Kyrie along with the rest of the Warriors in a minute, those big three players that had been in the same jersey for 11 seasons together, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, that game was played by those three guys like Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And the best player ended up winning it for his team, and that was Steph. If you're Klay Thompson, you have to be feeling like, so that's what that feels like. He's been on the other end of it, on the winning end of it, countless times, where Curry and even Klay some nights will drive the dagger home in the heart of an opponent. And tonight, Klay was that opponent. And Curry let him know right from the very first play You know, I thought that Steph was naturally going to be matched up on Klay just because that's what the defense kind of demanded. Wiggins was going to be on Doncic, obviously. He's had a history of being able to at least keep him in check and make him work hard, though Doncic was also fantastic tonight. Melton is kind of the new guy in the starting lineup, but he kind of profiles as a player that can stay with, at least, again, make things tough for Kyrie, who was also really good in the second half of this game. And that leaves Curry on Klay. First play, Dallas Mavericks run a screen for Klay, comes off, asks for the ball at the high post, and goes to work on Steph, draws a foul. That set the tone. This was splash brother on splash brother. It was the game within the game, and it's why the NBA has the ability, not all the time, because guys are missing games left and right. Guys, unfortunately, get hurt. Guys sometimes don't always take every game as personally as the Warriors clearly did tonight. But sometimes, again, that's why this game was one that lived up to the billing. This one was a game that you could tell that those players, it meant more to them. And for Curry to guard Klay on the first possession, I thought set the tone and tenor for a night that turned into something just absolutely special. And it feeds into this idea that, again, when you're in Steph Curry's house, I don't care if it's the Oakland Arena, you know, if it's Roracle, I don't care if it's Chase Center, I don't care if it's in Paris, France, because he also apparently owns something across the sea as well. Whenever Curry has the palm, the crowd in the palm of his hands, like it's his show. This was Klay Thompson's night at the beginning of this game. By the end of the game, it was Steph Curry's night again. And I've never seen Curry that animated, maybe ever, but certainly not for a regular season game. After he hits the step back dagger over Derek Lively, he's pumping his chest, he's screaming at the crowd, and then once he goes and hit those free throws, puts the night-night away, he comes down and he screams into the camera once more. Might have even said something along the lines of, from what I heard from one of my friends, you missed this. And I'm not, it's probably directed at Klay. But it's also, again, just another message to this league that this dude is still on a different level. And while the Warriors went 3-0 without Curry earlier this season, the Warriors have now been dragged to victory in three of the last four games against three of some of the league's best. He had 27 in Boston on Wednesday. Curry had 36 against OKC on Sunday. I know they had a loss against Cleveland mixed in there, but tonight against Dallas, 37 points, the last 10 of which for the Warriors in the final 3 minutes and 10 seconds, and it was like a light switch. Boom. Turned on. Curry took over. The Warriors from down 7 to up 3. It was his game. It was his night. And he grabbed the spotlight once again from another player that, as we talked about, is as beloved as any in the Bay Area. It was Klay's once. By the end, it was Curry's. And it was another great win for the Warriors, who are now in, you know, kind of the big picture, the macro takeaway is the Warriors are 9-2. They're in first place in the Western Conference, and they got a win over OKC. You know, the Phoenix Suns won tonight to kind of match the pace, but the Warriors look legit, and they look like it for a lot of reasons over the course of this first 11 games. But tonight, it was because of the level that Curry continues to prove that he can extract from himself and, of course, can extract from the Warriors. Draymond Green, you know, might get lost in some of this because of Klay and Curry and the Splash Bros, but he was a freaking maniac, both on defense, but hits a couple threes, is taking those threes, being willing to take them in big spots. I believe he went 2-for-4 tonight from distance, but 11 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, Draymond Green defensively also is the guy that he unlocks everything for the Warriors. I don't think it's a coincidence that once Steve Kerr decided to go small in the waning moments of that game tonight, with Draymond at the 5, Curry and Melton in the backcourt, and then Wiggins and Kuminga, quietly, that pair has been something that Steve Kerr has been reluctant to go to. But tonight against a Mavericks team, even playing a traditional center at the 5, pretty much almost every second of this basketball game, it was either Derek Lively the 2nd or Daniel Gafford, Kerr was not afraid to lean into what has made Draymond a generational defender and a future Hall of Famer. And that's the fact that even though he's given up several inches, he's given up tens of pounds, he can still impose his will in and outside of the paint when he needs to. Draymond Green played 31 minutes tonight. I thought he was amazing. And defensively, they needed every single ounce of his effort to beat a Mavericks team that looked like they were about to run away with this thing. It was 112-105, I think, with a little over 4 minutes left after Kyrie Irving, you know, does a dance on Moses Moody and gets to the cup. And it's like, In fact, I was sitting next to a media member up at Press Row that actually thought about leaving. You know, he was on his way down. Well, you know, it's a good effort. Another barometer game. You know, Klay Thompson will get a win on the road. It's going to be great. I'll see you tomorrow. And then apparently stops at the bottom of the steps. And this is what he told me. Stops at the bottom of the steps. I believe it was out of that Curry with 3:10 left. Hits a pull-up midi. And then hits a patented, just kind of takes a Draymond screen, steps into a three, quick 5 points. It's a 114-113 game, and I see him sprinting back up the stairs, back up to Press Row. Like, this game ain't over, man. And again, it's never over because of what Curry can do offensively, what Draymond can do defensively, and because of what appears the kind of magic that the Warriors have captured this season so far. 120-117, Golden State Warriors advance to 9-2. They hand the Mavericks their sixth loss of the season. They spoil Klay's return to Chase Center and, again, kind of snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up. If we got any calls, please line them up. Also hit the number for the Comcast business text line from the 650. Best game of the year. I'm 100% with you. Appreciate the love as well. I know Granny's been holding it down for quite a bit, but this was a game that I was excited that I did not miss, and was a night that, you know, it's funny. Like, Curry is a player that there's, over the 2.5 seasons that I've been lucky enough to cover this team and been in and around Chase Center, there's a lot of games and a lot of moments where you kind of just recall, like, Curry just, again, just turning it on. But tonight was different. And I think it was different because of the energy that he exuded and the kind of emotional display that we saw multiple times. It wasn't like I remember him against the Kings early last year. I think he had a 40-point game, dragged them to the finish line. It wasn't the Klay go-ahead jump shot game, but Curry dragged them to the finish line and was, you know, pounding his chest and saying it was his house. I've seen Curry do it in the playoffs a few times. Specifically during the 2022 run, you saw him just take over games in the Western Conference Finals against the Mavericks, the Game 4 on the road in Boston, of course, but I didn't get a chance to see that live. You know, there's a lot of moments where you see Curry just, you know, basically go full maniac. Like, he just become an absolute menace on the court. But tonight, because, and that's why, again, it was like a, it was a confluence of things that created a perfect piece of entertainment for its viewer. And it's a reason why I'm glad that the Warriors are back in the spotlight, because Curry's the greatest showman in sports. You know, Mahomes is certainly up there. A lot of people around the country, I don't know, maybe put LeBron in that category. But to me, in the NBA, it's not even close. It's Steph Curry. In the MLB, you know, Shohei Ohtani is a wonder to watch, especially when he can do both pitching and hitting. But there's nobody that, yeah, Mahomes is probably the closest one that I can think of. But Curry captures a moment, and I don't know, maybe it's just because of everything that he's built. But on a night like tonight, where his Splash Brother is back, where the entire crowd is into it and is standing seemingly from tip to tip, from tip to finish, you know, he just would not let them walk out of the gym unhappy. And I think a lot of people, to their credit, you know, there's a lot of real Warriors fans that were out here tonight and were in support of Klay no matter what. Win or loss, I think they would have been happy. And I think they are happy that Klay had, you know, a good game. Like, in a way, that was also another part of this, too. I think we were talking about it all throughout the day on 95.7 The Game, you know, whether it was Bonte and Butcher, whether it was Steiny and Guru, and then Wilder and Dibs, the last two shows of which were out here at Chase Center at Thrive City. You know, what would be the perfect outcome tonight, right? Would it be Klay getting a win? Would it be the Warriors getting a win? Would it be Klay not playing well? Because some people felt like, you know, he left the wrong way and left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. I think this was probably the best outcome, at least for me. I got a lot of love for Klay Thompson. I know that on the air last year I was very critical of him and some of the emotions that he displayed. I didn't think that he was the perfect teammate by any means. But as a longtime Warriors fan, you know, I got no malice towards Klay Thompson. He was a player that I grew up and probably identified with the most as a fellow introvert. I felt like his kind of eclectic tastes were ones that I definitely associated myself with. And overall, his demeanor pre-injury was one that was kind of impregnable. Like, you couldn't really poke holes in Klay Thompson. And I think nationally, he was the most beloved Warrior because there was nothing that was, you know, porous about his attitude or his game. And sure, he sunk a lot of daggers, but he wasn't as great as Steph.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Curry, so he wasn't that hated, and he didn't do anything on or off the court that made you say, that guy's a little off his rocker sometimes, like Draymond Green. So Klay Thompson, maybe his perfect status in a lot of Warriors fans' eyes has come back to earth in recent memory, but I was hoping that he had a great game tonight. And I think Klay Thompson played really well, especially in that second half. You know, 22 points, he hit six threes. By the way, count the trifecta bucket for your boy. Our Fremont Bank prediction of the game was, number one, Klay would hit at least five threes. He got six. Number two, Klay Thompson would take the first shot of the game. That was it. And he would score the first points of the game, which he got to the free throw line. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself from that standpoint. But I do want to get to our callers at 888-957-9570. We got Eric in Millbrae on the line. Cam, if we could please bring my man E up. E, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up with Evan. What's up? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Just an outstanding game tonight. First off, the tribute to Klay was incredible. Well done. I love the nice touch with the employees with the captain hats, and then obviously giving out to all the fans there at Chase Center. That was an incredible touch. Warriors know how to do these type of tributes and such as good as any franchise in sports. So I thought top to bottom, outstanding. They nailed it. As far as the game tonight, incredible game. We know how much Klay wanted to take this game, and it looked like down the stretch there he was, but then Curry just showing just how clutch he is once again. That flurry at the end of the game, that 12-2 run that he put on the mask to take over that game and to really put the dagger in them, take this win, was just incredible. It shows why he is the best shooter of all time, and as much as we love Klay, he wasn't going to let them spoil this for the Warriors, and Just incredible from top to bottom. I thought it was an incredible game. I thought Draymond was impressive. We got JK there, hit some big shot down the stretch, but Curry just showing once again he was going to will it. He didn't want to lose this game, and that's as animated as I think I've ever seen him get during a stretch, maybe outside of the finals against the Celtics when he went off there in game six. He really wanted this game, and I love the post game. He knew that Clay, don't do my shimmy in my city. So just incredible, top to bottom. Love the tribute, and more importantly, the Warriors got the win tonight. And just love the way that the team playing right now, man. They're really locked in, and the X factor there to me, I thought is going to be JK. He's playing for a contract, and he's got to show he's got to be that guy. Wiggins and Draymond's really locked in. So this team's continuing to play great ball and keep it going tonight. But just top to bottom, great win tonight, fellas, and love what I saw. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Eric. Great call. I agree 100%. And you point out that little play, that back and forth between Curry and Clay. You know, that was Clay, again, you know, doing what he does and what we've known, which he can get demonstrative as well. I always loved when Clay would get demonstrative and sort of get himself going. You know, Clay comes out, hits a three, hits a shimmy. I believe that was after a transition triple, but you know, Steph and Dre also in that first opening period. Like, again, Clay takes the first shot of the game for the Mavericks, draws the foul on Curry, goes to the free throw line. Okay, time to go. You know, Curry makes his first three right after in the ensuing possession, I believe, points at Clay Thompson after he hits a three from the wing. Also amidst that opening, I think, four-minute stretch for the Warriors, Draymond Green hits a three and screams at Clay Thompson. Like, this game was a big three game. Clay played well, I thought. Curry was obviously all-time, and Draymond Green was sensational. But it was the game within the game that just took this performance from all three players to a different level. Clay doing the shimmy in Curry's house after a patented flyby three and a transition triple. He's hitting his chest. That was, I believe, amidst the Mavs' 16-2 run in which they flipped the score in the second quarter. You know, it looked like the Warriors were beginning to struggle a bit, and then Draymond Green steadied them defensively down the end of that second quarter. They went in down four at the half, but, you know, Draymond Green negating a shot with about 90 seconds left, turning an errant shot clock prayer into a long rebound for Kuminga, and then up ahead to Wiggins for a dunk that was a four-point swing. Like, there was so many plays within this game that sort of involved all three of those guys, and it kind of makes you forget a little bit that Luka Doncic was awesome in this game. He had 31 points, though I don't believe he scored in the fourth quarter, and that might have also been because of the defense that a combination of Kuminga, Wiggins, and even Moody for a little bit was playing on him. Also because Kyrie Irving came alive. He closed to double digits in the fourth quarter, I believe, after being very, very quiet. Did most of his damage in the second half. And then Klay Thompson even hit some big shots. And it was like Klay could kind of taste the victory, probably in many ways like he could taste victory formerly for the Warriors. But when he was playing for the Warriors, he had the best player on his side. And tonight, the best player was on the other team. All right, let's keep it rolling. 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors beat the Mavericks 120-117. They spoil Klay Thompson's return to Chase Center. I thought this was a big three game. I thought it was Klay's game at the beginning and in pregame. By the end of the night, it was Steph's. Tell me know what you thought about the performance. If you went to Chase tonight, if you're driving home, feel free to chime in. Comcast Business Text Line is open as well. But let's go to Andrea. Apologies for the pronunciation. In Berkeley. Andrea, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, that was a great game. That really, it was the best of both worlds. You know, we had a wonderful welcome back for Klay Thompson, and the Warriors won. And I got to say, it just reminded me of all the special moments with Klay Thompson. He's an Aquarius, kind of eccentric and unusual. He's born February 8th, 1990. And I remember when he was on his boat, you know, in the Bay Area, going to the Warriors game at Chase Center. And he said something to the effect of, oh, I love being in the bay. You know, I'm an Aquarius, it's under the water bearer. So I love the water. It's really healing for me. And, you know, it was just nice to just kind of go down memory lane and recall all those unique energy times he gave us. But at the same time, really nice to see, you know, Steph score the final 12 points of the game and the Warriors win. So, you know, basketball gods and goddesses gave us the best of both worlds, but it was really nice to see Clay, and kudos to the Warriors, you know, for the captain hats and, you know, the presentations and the video. They gave him a really very, very special night.
Thank you, Andrea. A lot of great comments. You know, I think as far as the Warriors, they are ones that also deserve a tip of the cap. You know, they created an environment that, I don't know, like going into the game, I don't know what people thought about this, but I thought going into the matchup, kind of based on Clay's comments on Sunday, right? He said it's another game. He was talking more about the NBA Cup than he was talking about coming back, and it felt like he was trying to downplay it. Either it was for his own mentals or because he was mad. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to try and psychoanalyze Clay. That's an unattainable task. But what I did wonder is, were the Warriors just doing it because, again, like when he left last summer, I felt like by the end of the relationship, whatever you want to call it, Klay Thompson did not want to be in Golden State because he didn't feel like there was enough respect for what he'd accomplished. And the Warriors did not want Klay Thompson coming back this season because they didn't feel like he would be able to sacrifice as much as he'd need to for the team to be successful. I believe both things can be true at the same time. And so that's why I feel like it was a perfect split. Like the divorce after 13 years, it was just time. But it also made me wonder, okay, are the Warriors trying to go all out to look like and appear like they're doing this because of how things ended? You know, are they going over the top really for Clay or for themselves? Sometimes when you have relationships that end poorly and you have to inevitably come back to the same place, you know, you try and be the better person, not necessarily because you're actually, you want to be nice to that individual that you broke up with or that broke up with you, but because you want to make yourself feel like you're the bigger person. And I was wondering whether or not the Warriors were doing that with all the, you know, supposed sea captain's hats and the tributes and at least what I thought Curry was going to say before the game, before they announced that he was not speaking. But that wasn't the case. And I think you saw that through Klay Thompson. You saw it on his face. And Klay Thompson is not someone that hides his emotions very well. One of the reasons why Klay Thompson is one of the most beloved Bay Area athletes ever is because of how genuine he is. And before the game, you know, the video tribute, it was, you know, it had great moments, right? Obviously, the birth of Game 6 Klay 2016 in Oklahoma City. It had highlights from him breaking the all-time three-point record in Chicago in 2018. It had the 60-point game on 11 dribbles. You know, Klay Thompson coming back, dunking in his first game back after 941 days of rehabilitation after an ACL and Achilles tear against Cleveland. You know, it had, I think, highlights from his finals performance when they beat Boston in 2022, and Klay came back over the last half of the season, ended up playing the most minutes, I think, in the postseason that year. So there was a lot of great moments that were kind of, you know, condensed and wrapped into that small video tribute. But afterwards, like, that was the part that was like, okay, obligatorily we have to, you know, present that to Klay Thompson. But afterwards, it was the ovation, it was the roar, and it was the full-throated strength in numbers appreciation from 20,000 people, and I'm sure from thousands more from their home that stood up or clapped or just thought about all the good times that Klay Thompson has provided this organization, this franchise, and this fan base. And it was a smile that he couldn't withhold. It was, you know, clapping and saying thank you. And at first it felt like he was trying to kind of poo-poo it. But then again, there was just continuous clapping, a continuous roar from the crowd, and the Warriors and their PA and their presentation pregame just let it sit. Not once, not twice, not three times. And by the end of it, you could tell that Klay was, yes, he wanted to get to the game and he wanted to, you know, go put on for his team, for his new team, the Dallas Mavericks. But he also, he couldn't hold it in. You know, he didn't cry, but he smiled. He gave thanks. And I think the fan base was it was a perfect moment. You know, I was skeptical of whether or not the whole tribute would work. And from the beginning to the end, it did. It was a really cool moment and one that I'm grateful that I was in the building for. So if you feel anything about that, if you felt anything about Clay's performance, his return to the Bay, if you also want to talk about some of the kind of acrimonious things that went on with Clay and that you felt coming into this game, whether you still feel the same way, whether they're changed, or whether you just want to talk about the performance itself. You know, I got 18 things written down that we can get into from a micro standpoint. But to me, again, tonight was about Clay at the beginning. By the end, it was about Curry. 888-957-9570 is the number. And from the Comcast Business text line, Steph loves Clay, but had to show little bro not tonight in his arena. No containing the MVP. Well, he's a few years removed from being the MVP, but he was last year the clutch player in the NBA, and that he most definitely re-cemented once again this evening. Cam, if we still have Actor Dave on the phone, was leaving Chase Center. Let's go to him if we can. Actor Dave, you're up on Warriors Wrap-Up. How we doing?
Hey, how you doing, man? First-time caller for the show, but a long-time listener.
Sweet.
I'm with my brother-in-law, Sean, as well. We're in the car, heading home, tons of traffic, trying to leave the Chase Center and get home to East Bay. But, man, we wanted to talk about the drama that happened after Clay started doing the goggles and the ice in the veins.
Uh-huh.
That's what set Steph off.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It seemed like he was a bit spiteful, you know. There's something going on in, up in that head, you know, just like you said.
Yeah,
and,
but to see Steph just go off. And then Draymond and Steph were barking at Clay. You saw Draymond barking at the bench when Clay was on the bench. You saw Steph, like, I think Steph, my brother and I both think Steph may have taken it a little bit personal when Clay started doing the taunting stuff, because I don't know if they expected that or not, but even as a fan, like you were talking about, it was super emotional in the beginning. I got emotional. We literally got emotional at the start of the game with his intro and everything. But then to see him start taunting, it was just like, oh, okay.
Steph didn't like that.
Yeah, Steph didn't like that. That's right.
He didn't like that. So he had to come back with some heat for him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, it was exciting. A lot of emotions in that building tonight.
Yeah. So, thank you, man.
I'm just trying to figure out when we're going to trade for Giannis, though. I know.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. 9-2. 9-2. That's what we got right now. Thank you, Actor Dave, and appreciate your brother-in-law alongside you listening in to Warriors Wrap-Up here at 95.7 The Game, leaving Chase Center, and again, leaving full, you know, all right, I know that a lot of people may not have had a meal tonight, but that was as full as I've felt after watching a basketball game as far as the entertainment factor is concerned, because you're absolutely right, Actor Dave, and your brother-in-law, I apologize, I didn't catch your name there, but your point about the game within the game. Again, that's what makes the NBA so special, and that's what made tonight so unique. Curry, and I think, honestly, no, you're right. Don't get me wrong. Clay kind of taunting, or, you know, trying to reestablish that Chase Center is his home and his house with the shimmy, the pounding of the chest, pointing at the crowd. He might have even had a clap or two in front of Joe Lacob, who was courtside. That's another sort of underlying storyline. The golf the golf round between them, in which they didn't say anything about the contract, that was all in play. A lot of stuff was on the table tonight, but it started even before. And the reason why I know this is because a couple minutes ago at the podium, and we'll hear Steve Kerr in just a moment, but at the podium a few minutes ago, Steve Kerr was asked about the defensive matchup, because pregame, someone, I forget which reporter asked him, but someone tried to get into the matchups, right? He, you know, just, hey, just checking in, Steve. Who are you going to throw on Clay? And he goes, I'm not telling you. Now, I thought, just because of the process of elimination, Wiggins has always been matched up with Luka, and to me, Melton profiles as just kind of a quicker guy that'll stay in front of Kyrie, even though sometimes Curry has had to guard Kyrie in the past. If you go back to those Cavaliers finals matchups, Klay Thompson was the one that would guard Kyrie Irving. So, to me, it was, all right, who's the third guy? And it was Curry. And I think when Curry found out, and Kerr said that pregame, when they go over the matchups, he looked at Steph and he said, Steph, you got Klay. And all Steve Kerr said was that Curry smiled. And to me, that's when it started. Now, it elevated. It got, you know, it got crazy during that game as far as the emotion and kind of the just the head-to-head matchup between the two. It ratcheted up as the game is going along, and especially as the game turned into clutch time. But it started before the game. Like, that's where, again, the greats are so different because they find things to elevate themselves. And it's almost like they're playing mental games to extract the best. And this was a game that, I mean, pick your choice. Whether it's Klay Thompson being back in the house, whether it's, I don't know, if you want to go into the Dallas Mavericks and the fact that they represented the West last year in the finals, like, they are the reigning kings of the Western Conference to some extent. Heck, you know, maybe it's Steph Curry trying to put on for Jason Kidd, who's one of the greatest point guards of all time, and oh, by the way, is an Oakland native. You could pick a litany of things to, you know, kind of get yourself going, but the moment that Curry hears, I'm on Klay. You know, I'm guarding him defensively. And then Klay goes at him first play, which also I felt like was predictable. But Klay Thompson draws a foul on him, and then it's like, all right, game starts. Game is on. And so getting to see the Warriors and the Mavericks, of course, play the game out over the scoreboard. The bench was not very good tonight. I'm with you for the 5-1-0 on the Comcast Business Text Line. You know, Buddy Hield didn't have a great shooting performance. The Warriors, who and the calling card of their team has been depth, they actually were outscored, I believe, by the bench of the goal, by the bench of the Dallas Mavericks through the majority of this game. Really, I think
it's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Through the first half, Dallas had more points off the bench because Derek Lively was killing it, and Kuminga didn't come out of his shell yet. Buddy Hield didn't hit a couple threes until the second half, but the bench got largely outplayed tonight. I thought the bigs for Dallas were supremely dominant, Lively, but also Gafford. And up until TJD had a better stint in the second half, and then the Warriors went small, you know, they were kind of getting played physically from the inside out. And so, you know, I thought the Warriors made some adjustments. Overall, the second unit wasn't great. If you want to talk about the non-Steph minutes, that was absolutely something that was, you know, not a great part of the game for the Warriors. You know, overall, I believe Curry was plus 24. In the non-Steph minutes, the Warriors were a minus 27 against the Dallas Mavericks. And part of that has to do with the fact that when Curry's not on the court, against a team like Dallas, they always have a star on the court. Like Luka, Kyrie, and Klay combined for 75 points tonight. So if Doncic is taking a breather, well, Kyrie Irving is going to be able to get a basket or get a shot. You know, maybe one of the two or two of the three is going to be on the court at the same time. And so the Warriors had to deal with that. You know, there were some things as far as, you know, the interior presence of opposing bigs is something certainly to monitor for the Warriors, because that was also something that hurt them against Cleveland in a big way when they got their doors blown off on Friday night. They didn't really have to deal with much interior presence against Boston because of the absence of Porzingis. Obviously, against OKC, they were already missing Hartenstein, and then Chet Holmgren gets hurt relatively early in that basketball game. So, you know, there's some stuff to monitor here for the Warriors, but again, that to me is not the story of tonight. Sure, the Warriors are 9-2. They're tied for first in the West. Yes, they beat a Dallas team down the stretch, but tonight was about Klay, it was about Curry, it was about Draymond, and it was about the beautiful big three that has been split but still managed to give us a moment that we don't get too often, especially now that Klay is gone. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. This was, you know, again, to kind of go into the big three. And if you want to chime in, 888-957-9570 is the number. Also the number for the Comcast Business Text Line. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up. But to me, you know, another part of this game, too, is, all right, so it was a kind of a throwback big three game, right? Like, Klay has 22 points, hit six threes. Majority of his damage was done from the three-point line, which was also kind of a, I don't know, a calling card of Klay last year. Was unable to, of course, create separation. But he took, like, most of his heat checks tonight, I feel like, were tough fadeaways or long twos. So it hasn't changed much there. Draymond with 11 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. The biggest stretch that Draymond Green had was from about the 2 minute and 45-second mark until the 190 mark in the fourth quarter. And it was three straight possessions against Daniel Gafford, who, to his credit, I know that Gafford might not be a household name. The Mavericks traded for him from the Washington Wizards for virtually nothing at the trade deadline last year. But Daniel Gafford is a big reason why the season turned around for Dallas last year. Along with P.J. Washington, came over from Charlotte. He wasn't available tonight. So the Mavericks were missing who would be, I guess, you know, their fourth starter. Najee Marshall stepped in. But those two bigs, Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, that's where they have built more of a defensive than offensive-minded basketball team. Even with Doncic and Irving and now Klay in the mix, they are a very good defensive group. And I think they showed that by, you know, in that second quarter, shutting down the Warriors, pardon me, in the yeah, in the second quarter, kind of shutting down the Warriors and flipping the script. But overall, they held the Warriors at 34% shooting from three-point range. The Warriors, gosh, they shot themselves in the foot at the free throw line. They missed a total of 9 free throws in this game. 11 free throws in this game. 16 of 27 from the stripe. So, you know, they hurt themselves there. But the Dallas defense led in the middle, you know, I thought was something that they had an advantage in unless Draymond Green was on the floor. Draymond, on those three straight possessions that I'm talking about, from 245 to 130, first, he draws a charge on Gafford, very close, manages to get himself out of the restricted area, gets 2 feet in front, draws what I think was an appropriate charge on Daniel Gafford. That allowed, with the Warriors down three, for Curry to come down and hit that first three that just got the crowd erupted. And you know, once they got within one, it was almost like Curry had the game in his hands. But then the next possession down, Draymond Green goes up, Gafford tries to lean into a floater, and Draymond Green absolutely tosses him. And this is why, again, in moments that you can see players where the game and the moment the moment is bigger than the game itself, because Draymond tosses Daniel Gafford, that leads to a Curry floater for them to take their lead, 115-114. But then Draymond stands over Gafford and kind of looks at him for a moment as if to say, you know, just like Curry, this is my house, and you're not going to come in the paint. I don't care how big you are, how strong you are. This is Draymond Green's paint. And then on the next possession, he forces a turnover on Gafford. I'm not sure. It was difficult to see from the perch we were at. I'm not sure if he stripped him, but he basically forced a tough pass inside, forces a turnover, and then Curry hits a step-back dagger and just goes absolutely crazy. But Draymond Green down the stretch is probably going to get forgotten a little bit in his defense because of how good Curry was offensively. But those two players took over that basketball game, man. And again, it was all on the heels of a Klay wing three, in which he did the three eyes, you know, kind of the, for those watching on YouTube, holds up the three, puts him over his eyes, the eyeball three celebration after a Warriors empty possession. Klay Thompson gave the Mavericks a 5-point lead with five to play. And then Kyrie, in a possession or two later, you know, goes up and sort of throws it inside to Gafford and dunks it for an and one to put him up by seven. That was the last largest lead that Dallas would have, because also a big part of this, too, was Kerr going to a small lineup. You know, I think it was instead of Kuminga and Melton, I believe Hield was in the game and it was Looney. They're playing kind of a traditional five. And Looney had a pretty good game. You know, I think he had like another 11 rebound performance, nine of them offensive in 15 minutes. But when Kerr leaned into the small, flexible, versatile lineup that was able to get up and run, in addition to getting stops because of how good Draymond was in the middle, the game absolutely flipped. It flipped in a hurry. They were down by seven with effectively 3 minutes left. And Melton comes out, drains a three from the top of the key. Curry hits a quick pull-up after a Dallas response, and then the Curry three, the Curry floater, the Curry step-back dagger, and the Curry two free throws to put this game away. You know, effectively, Steph had 12 points in the final 3 minutes and 10 seconds, and the only other 3 points came from Melton. But defensively, that lineup, when Kerr went to it, he may have found something. You know, I'm not sure it's going to be a starting lineup necessarily, but that might be the Warriors' ideal closing lineup, because Draymond Green continues to prove that no matter how old he is, and no matter how gray his beard gets, that he is one of the most defining and transformational defenders at his position, really at his size, that the NBA has seen, and proves it again. You know, I realize it wasn't against, you know, a Nikola Jokic or an Anthony Davis. It was against Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, but those two guys were absolutely killing them with their physicality, and Draymond Green manages to step up and show out for it. So, you know, I was impressed with what the Warriors did defensively down the stretch. Curry, the closer, continuing to prove himself to be the most clutch player in basketball, and just steals the spotlight from Klay Thompson right before his eyes. You know, that game within the game that Klay is shimmying and throwing his eyes up and trying to egg on the crowd, and probably had it in his mind in a perfect world that he was going to show up Steph. And I really think that tonight, Klay felt like he had something to prove in regards to, you guys made a mistake. That is Klay Thompson. He's a competitor. He wanted to prove that the Warriors made the wrong choice by effectively shipping him to Dallas and bringing in Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, who unfortunately couldn't play tonight due to neck spasms, as well as De'Anthony Melton. And while he had a great game, you know, I think it proved a couple things. Number one, the Warriors made the right choice, like I kind of said off the top. I think it was time for Klay to go, and I think it was time for the Warriors to move on. That's one part. The second part of it is, I think Klay also found the right landing spot for him. The Dallas Mavericks look like a perfect fit for number now 31. Gosh, I almost said number 11. That's Kyrie now. But they look like a perfect fit for Klay Thompson. He looks like a perfect fit for them. And he nearly helped them beat the Warriors tonight. Again, if not for Curry's just psychotic performance down the stretch of this game, Klay Thompson is walking out of here with a W, and he's probably throwing up his four fingers, or, you know, whatever finger he wants, to the Warriors crowd, who showed him a lot of love today. There were no boos for Klay Thompson, by the way, tonight. As we kind of wind down our first segment and allow everyone to chime in again, I want to throw out the number 888-957-9570. Also the number for the Comcast business text line from the 262. Melt is such a great addition to the lineup. I do agree with that. And we still have a lot to learn about him because he missed a few games with a back injury that plagued him for most of last season as well. This is from the 408. The Klay tribute was awesome. The one thing that could have made it better would be to have a Broadway musical singer singing Memory from Cats during the tribute. I'm not going to lie, I pride myself on being cultured. I've never seen Cats, so I don't get the reference. But the Klaib tribute was awesome. That I do agree with. All right, let's step aside, take a break, come back, listen to Steve Kerr, and take more of your phone calls and text messages at 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings with you live at Chase Center after the Warriors defeat the Dallas Mavericks 120-117. They spoil Klay Thompson's return to the Bay. And they are 9-2 to begin the season. Back with more on Warriors wrap-up after this on 95.7 The Game.
Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go. And Stephen Curry beating his chest, talking to the crowd.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy describing the action. That was the dagger from Steph Curry. That would put the Warriors up pretty much for good. 118-114. Curry with 12 points in the final 3-10. Had the last 10 for the Dubs as they spoil Klay Thompson's return to Chase Center, 120-117. And Curry was talking to the crowd. He was talking to the camera. He was talking to the Mavericks. He was talking to Klay. He was talking to apparently whoever would listen out there in the void. Steph Curry sometimes loses his mind, and I think at the podium a moment ago he said, I don't really know what I said, and that I do believe because he just becomes another person, and it makes it all the more impressive that he can just turn that switch on and off, but that level of competitive fire I don't think is normally extracted. Again, it's why the confluence of factors tonight create that moment, whether it's Klay Thompson coming back, you know, the Mavericks, of course, putting themselves in a position to win. Klay trying to take what once was part of his house back by shimmying and doing Steph's celebration, giving the three-eyeball celebration to go up five down the stretch of that basketball game, feeling like Dallas had it in the grip of their hands, and then Curry coming over and just ripping the W from the Mavs. That was a moment that I think is one that we're always going to remember, and it's because Curry's the greatest showman in sports. You know, he doesn't always win, but it feels like whenever there's, I don't know, just something extra at play, that he has something special, and it's why he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and it's why tonight was nearly a perfect night. But before we get to Steve Kerr, who I thought had some interesting comments about, of course, Klay, Curry, Draymond, all the rest, let's go to Shaka in Berkeley if we have him, Cam. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up here, 95.7 The Game. Let's talk to Shaka. Shaka, what's up, my man?
What's up, big dog, man? It was a great night, man, for the town, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Nobody closes like him. The only thing I've ever saw like Curry closing was Jordan, when he would just take over the game for 3 to 4 minutes, and you would be like, you know, that's when we all were Magic and Bird, and we really didn't know Jordan's greatness. And you know, those playoff games and those championship games, I liked when he played the Lakers. And he just took over the whole game for like 6 minutes, man. Nobody closes like him. But still, I just would have liked this, that conversation that him and Klay had, when Klay said he didn't want all with talking and nothing, he just wanted to play. I wonder if that brought a lot of, I don't know, you know, I'm just thinking in my mind, there's so much competitors that they've been playing together for so many years, and they're like brothers, you know what I mean? So, you know, him and Draymond, see, Draymond had a great game. All the blocks, you know, and just playing Looney, the remnants of the championship team. Iguodala came out. It was just electric, man. And, I know Klay got to feel kind of not getting the win and seeing his ex-team be 9-2 and on top. So I'm just hoping Klay just get through and continue to have a great career, man. That's all I wanted to say, man.
Appreciate it, Shaka. Yeah, that last part is, you know, I think that was also a part of this game too. You know, maybe not as much for Curry or Draymond, but absolutely for Klay. I 100% believe two things. Number one, Klay Thompson wanted to win this game tonight as much for the victory itself as to prove the Golden State Warriors made a mistake, that they moved on and did not treat a legend the way that he should have been treated. And they made a mistake by getting rid of him, that they were going to be worse the moment that he left. I 100% believe that, especially because the Warriors have got off to such a good start. He wanted to win the game, that I believe. Number two, and I said it on Warriors Live before the game, I also believe that Clay, who took less money annually, not less money total, to go to Dallas, but he did take less money total and annually to go to Dallas instead of the Lakers. And I think he did that because he wants to win a fifth championship, but because he wants to be better than the Warriors. You know, it's some I always think it's funny, like a lot of times athletes, some of them we kill for, I don't know, being too prideful. Others we prop up, right? Like I remember when Kobe won his fifth championship, one of the first things he said at the podium after was, "I got more than Shaq." Like, some guys really just hold on to it, and that is a big prideful thing for them. Klay is an incredibly prideful person, and I think he chose the Mavericks because he thought that they would give the best chance for him to be better than the Warriors and be better than his previous stop. And while some people might say that's childish, or, you know, it's because he, I don't know, is mad and salty, sure, I think it's also just because that's Klay Thompson. He's a competitor. It's why a lot of people, you know, probably wanted Klay to do well tonight, but more importantly, they wanted the Warriors to win. And that's why I think, Shaka, this was probably the best case scenario for Golden State, which was Klay Thompson has a good game. You know, still proves that he's a quality player, 22.6 threes. But the Warriors win, and they won because Curry is the closer, and they won because Draymond Green defensively is still at maybe not the peak of his powers, but pretty damn close. And the Warriors as a team are 9-2 because they have so far through 11 games, you know, a little over 10%, managed to blend a perfect medley of top-end star power with incredible depth, and on different nights, they can win different ways. Tonight was not a strength in numbers game, in my opinion. I know Kerr played a lot of guys, and just looking at the numbers, you know, effectively, he played 10 in this game, 11 if you want to include a GP2, but he basically played a 10-man rotation, and Curry played 35 minutes, Draymond Green played 31, Wiggins played 33. You know, there was some guy with some relatively heavy minutes, but this wasn't a strength in numbers game. It's not like they just blew a team, or they won a game like in Houston without Curry. It's not like they won a game against the Pelicans like earlier in the year with a bunch, with like six double-digit scores. You know, they had, I think, five tonight. But Draymond Green barely eclipsed 10 points. You know, Curry was the only guy with more than 20. It was a one-man band offense down the stretch. Defensively is where this team is different, and that depth, I think, allows them to be their best selves. But this was a game where they needed Curry against a great team to take them home. And that's why, as we kind of move forward here in this conversation, I do, as we're about to turn Steve Kerr on, want to throw this prop out. Does this feel like the template, a sustainable template for a potential postseason run? We've now seen the Warriors play Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and Dallas. If you want to throw Houston in there, that's, you know, that's up to you. But those last four teams they played are teams that were in the final four of their respective conferences. Dallas made it to the finals. Boston beat them in the finals. Cleveland was in the conference semis, as well as OKC. The Warriors now have an idea of, I think, what style they need to beat those caliber of teams, in addition to how they can obviously dispatch the Portlands or Utahs or even a depleted New Orleans team. How are you feeling about the Warriors' chances outside of just the fact that Klay Thompson got beaten in the time that he came back to Chase Center, at least for the first time? So 888-957-9570 is the number. Cam, if we could listen to Steve Kerr, that would be fantastic. Here's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors after the 120-117 win.
I was a little misty-eyed for sure. That was really cool. An amazing moment. Our crowd was great. Klay was great. You could see how much he enjoyed it. And beautiful scene.
Steve, how was how would you describe the fourth quarter? And then after the game, we saw you embrace Clay, and Steph comes over and embraces Clay. How would you describe just the fourth quarter and the immediate few minutes following the game here?
Well, it was, you know, kind of similar to the second quarter, you know, where they jumped us. You know, we won the first and the third quarters pretty well. Played really well. Ball was moving. Our defense was good. Second and fourth, we really struggled in both. And, you know, they got off to that great start, took the lead, and just an incredible finish anchored by Steph and Draymond. Steph on the offensive side, Draymond on the defensive side. It's amazing to watch those guys still after all these years. And couldn't be prouder of the team for, you know, a tough win against a great team.
How critical was Andrew's defense on Luka, particularly in that second half?
Yeah, Wiggs was great. I just think there has to be an accumulative effect on Luka. You know, you can't stop him. He gets to so many shots, so you just have to try to make it difficult. And you know, he played 41 minutes. Wiggs was draped all over him. You know, and I thought you know, maybe that affected the 3-point shooting a little bit. He was 2 for 10. He's such a phenomenal player, but you just make it difficult. And I thought that's what Wiggs did.
There was a lot of talk before the game about Clay's emotions and everything, but. Do you think Steph had a little extra jolt tonight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and he was matched up against him defensively. You know, we did our pregame scout, and we went through the matchups, and it's almost surreal saying, all right, Steph, you got Clay. I mean, just – and Steph smiled as soon as he saw the matchups. He just I looked over at him, and he smiled, kind of shook his head like, this is weird, you know. So it was a strange – night in that regard, but ultimately, you know, it was a great night. You know, Clay hit some big shots and, you know, 22 points and made his mark on the game. And obviously we were thrilled to come away with the win, and then to see the emotion in the crowd and the love for Clay was fantastic.
A little bit of that trash talk happened.
It was weird, fellas, watching.
Yeah, no, that was as close to a perfect night as possible. That was Steve Kerr, along with the very end, Bonte Hill, who you can hear tomorrow at 6 a.m. with Joe Shasky on the morning roast, Steiny Goo from 10 to 2, and then William Dibbs from 2 to 6. A lot to react to after this basketball game on Warriors Wrap at 888-957-9570. Feel free to call in as we have a couple minutes left here. But I also, from the Comcast Business Text Line, you know, I think, you know, this is kind of what caught people. Salute to Clay and his return, but King Curry is still the best to ever do it in league history. You know, I don't know about league history, but someone mentioned earlier, I think it might have been Shaka, how there was a Jordan-esque feeling to tonight and kind of what there's been with Steph. I think it started in Paris with the Olympics. Like this idea that if Curry has the ball in his hands at the end of a game, that there's this inevitability that he is going to seal the deal. And, you know, sure, there's a lot of season left, about 71 games. Is he going to fail? Probably at some point. But overall, when the game is in the balance and you have the best player on the floor, I think you have a great chance to win that game. And that's why, you know, as much as the conversation might steer towards tomorrow, well, hey, like the Warriors are not just legit, but they got action in a Western Conference that right now sees them perched atop with Oklahoma City alongside the Phoenix Suns. And both of those other two teams have something that the Warriors don't, but the Warriors have something that they don't. What the Phoenix Suns and Oklahoma City Thunder have at full strength would be star power, or budding star power. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is fantastic. Jalen Williams is coming to his own. Chet Holmgren, assuming that he comes back at 100% in a while at full strength, gives them, you know, a three-headed monster in addition to, you know, the two-way players that they have. The Phoenix Suns, I think a lot of people have been shocked by their start, but even with KD missing a game, they were still able to, you know, earn a victory tonight. Granted, it was against Utah, but they have Devin Booker. Bradley Beal is playing better than he was last year, which is not very difficult to do. And Kevin Durant's been playing basically 40 minutes a night. Their point different, they've been winning a lot of close games, but they're still 9-2. So, you know, the Denver Nuggets have started to stabilize their season. They've won 5 in a row on the back of, right now, the MVP front runner for, gosh, a fourth time, Nikola Jokic. I think a lot of people are going to start thinking about what the Warriors need at this point, because to me, so far, what I've drawn from this season is, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult for the Warriors to make the move that everyone wants. And the reason is, whenever you make a trade, especially if you're in a position the Warriors are, it's to get better. And right now, this team, I think, has been not exposed, but there are some flaws in this team, and it would be on the interior. Like, you saw tonight that Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford could have their way at times, and that's been a Dallas calling card that flipped their season again last year and helped them make the finals. An interior presence that's pretty much relentless and was also missing P.J. Washington. Against Cleveland, the combination of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley specifically really bothered Golden State. We didn't get to see them against Boston with Porzingis. We didn't get to see them against OKC, you know, with Holmgren for the majority of that game, and Hartenstein was out. We haven't seen them yet against Denver. We haven't really seen them play, you know, to a massive level outside of Dallas, and this was a great test that they passed tonight. We haven't seen them be able to survive for long periods of time when other teams have presence, size, and physicality. And that's why I think, you know, Draymond is such a unique weapon for Steve Kerr to deploy at the five, but I don't think that's going to work sustainably for a long period of time. So, you know, maybe you could also write it off as, hey, you know, the Warriors didn't have their usual bench performance tonight. You know, they shot it below 40% from three. They were 14 of 41 from distance. You know, they didn't really shoot it. Buddy Hield had an off shooting night. He was a minus 21, which was a game low, even though he had 14 points. That's going to be something that also comes back. You know, I think the Warriors are built to sustainably beat teams that, A, are injured or depleted, or B, are not very good. Like, they're going to beat a lot of bottom feeders. They're going to beat a lot of teams and they're better than. And they're also going to be able to beat some good teams when they catch them without a particular player or on an off night. And that's good enough to win a lot of games. But I think as we continue to move forward and see the Warriors stack more W's, which they're 9-2 right now, we're going to start asking the question, do they need to make a trade? And if so, how do they improve this roster? And to me, it's something of the interior, but also I can't refute the fact that Trayce Jackson-Davis allows Draymond to be really good at the four. Did TJD have a great first half tonight? No. I thought he was good in his second stint, but he only played 14 minutes, and he's probably not going to get big minutes. Kevon Looney also only played 15 minutes in this game, but I'm not sure he can be a five that is going to play against the top dogs for 20 to 25 minutes. The Warriors are going to have to beat teams either playing small, like they did tonight. And actually, the one thing that gives me hope that whether they decide to make a move or not, that this team is going to be able to find another level, it's if they can unlock the combination of Kuminga and Wiggins. Because Wiggins held Doncic primarily to not a single point in the fourth quarter. And I think JK is also a pretty capable defender. De'Anthony Melton is a switchable defender. Draymond Green can do that as well. That final five, and Curry himself is no slouch defensively, that final five doesn't have a player that you can just pick on. With all love to Clay, if he's closing a game, he's going to get hunted, especially come playoff time. And the Warriors, if they're able to play their two wings together with Dre at the five, Melton, or I don't know, maybe some nights it's Moody, could be Gary Payton II, who I think that Steve Kerr has tried to close with, you know, those players allow them to be better defensively. And when you have Curry, who's able to do what he does on offense, well, then you become a very lethal team and a very versatile team that can win a lot of different ways. So that's what I love so far about this group, is it appears to have a lot of different ways to, a lot of different lineups to throw at you and a lot of different ways to win. But overall tonight, you know, kind of as we wind this thing down, if you have any last calls, feel free to get them in at 888-957-9570. Any last text messages on the Comcast Business Text line. You know, to me, I think this game was one that I was very much looking forward to, and I thought it lived up to the billing. With Clay returning to the Bay Area, the crowd, along with the Warriors, you know, that kind of 400 person reception before the game, that was all staff members. That was all people that Clay Thompson had helped probably in the city of Oakland in some way, shape, or form now here in San Francisco. Because, again, Clay Thompson, along with Draymond and Steph, to me, are as responsible for helping this franchise grow into the multi-billion dollar enterprise that it is currently. And with that, you know, I've heard stories about the Warriors operation back when Laker bought the team, and it's tenfold since then. So Klay Thompson, in many ways, is responsible for also the jobs that a lot of these people have here at Chase Center. And for them to show their support before the game as he's walking into the arena is something, number one, I've never seen before. And I think it also was something that Klay could not deny having, you know, kind of extracted affection from him. He tried to come in, and he was going to be Killer Clay, and he was going to be stone cold and just try and make this another game. And the Warriors wouldn't let him, you know, in the best way. The Warriors would not let Klay Thompson not show his emotion and his affection that was reciprocated tenfold, I thought, from before the game to the pregame ceremony, the video tribute and standing ovation, all the way to the end of the game when he was getting love from his teammates. He got a final ovation as he walked off the floor. And though he could not claim Chase Center as his arena tonight, it did feel like that before and after the game. And that was a really cool moment. And that the Warriors put on basically a perfect Klay Thompson tribute. And the Sea Captain's caps, some people might have thought they were corny. I might have been one of them before the game. But by the end of the game, it was pretty damn cool. In fact, I was actually trying to procure a few Sea Captain's caps for a few people that were loving it as well from home. So even on Klay's night, it is always Curry's night. A throwback big three game. Strangest part was having one of them on the other team wearing number 31, which is something I still have a hard time getting over. The game within the game, you know, the Splash Brother versus Splash Brother battle from the first play when Clay's posting up Curry to Clay banging his chest, doing the shimmy, giving the three goggles to Curry, hitting 1-3, screaming at the crowd, hitting the dagger, screaming into the camera, just putting on a beautifully psychotic performance down the stretch of that basketball game. That game is why, to refute what Clay said on Sunday night, it's not just a regular season game in November. Tonight was not. It's a game that people are going to remember, that I personally will go back, crack a cold one, and watch that fourth quarter again, because I feel like I missed a lot of things, and I had goosebumps throughout, and I almost hated myself for the fact that I had to continue to take notes about this game so I could come talk to you, because I wanted to, as a fan and as a lover of the Warriors and the game of basketball, just sit down and enjoy this, because Curry, Clay, Draymond, and everybody else involved in this game made it a special night at Chase Center, and one that the Warriors, I don't even think they could have imagined just how perfectly it all came together. So, you know, I think there was a lot of individual things that maybe could, you know, you could look at and see it will get better there. Warriors apparently still can't make free throws. The bench didn't have its greatest night, though I thought Jonathan Kuminga with 16 points in 27 minutes was a saving grace of that second unit. You know, De'Anthony Melton looks like he is here to stay in the starting lineup as a two-way two-guard that the Warriors, I think, really need. Not a shot at Klay Thompson. I just think he helps this team with what he's able to do when he's healthy, and allows someone like Wiggins to also be the capable defender that he is. It allows Draymond Green to play center field alongside TJD and Kevon Looney. You know, this Warriors team right now is multifaceted in a way that it felt a couple of seasons ago when they won the championship, but they still have a lot of time to prove that they deserve to be in that conversation, and right now have grabbed our attention. Tonight was about the game within the game, but as we move forward, it's also going to be about what the Golden State Warriors can prove that they can do without the weight of expectations. We're beginning to put the expectations back on them with winning 9 of their first 11, but as for tonight, again, it's about Clay, it's about Curry, it's about Dre, and it's about celebrating a four-time champion in his return home that the Warriors spoil in 120-117 fashion. So big thank you to Cameron Williams back in our 95.7 The Game studios. Big thank you to Chris O'Connell cutting, as always, doing a fantastic job behind the scenes. Big thank you to everyone back in our 95.7 studios from Chase Center. My name is Evan Giddings saying so long. Make thank you to everybody called in, everybody who has texted in, and everybody who has, again, helped contribute, whether you were tipping your cap to Clay in the arena, from home, before the game, after the game. Everybody made this a special night, the players, the fans, and I'm glad that I had a chance to chop it up with you after. So that'll do it for us on Warriors Wrap-Up. We will talk to you next as the Golden State Warriors get set for another matchup. In not much time, of course, staring ahead on their schedule. They will be back at it on Friday, hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. And another, oh, by the way, forgot to almost mention it, the NBA Cup. I think that's also a group stage game. The Warriors are also 1-0 in the NBA Cup. I know everybody had that on the top of their mind after tonight's game. But they're 9-2 overall, 1-0 in group play. And they'll take on the Memphis Grizzlies at 7 o'clock. Warriors Live with Mark Grandy will be at 6 p.m. Tim Roy, 6:30, play-by-play. As always, on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. Saying so long from Chase Center. Evan, deuces, thank you. Warriors, take off. And we'll talk to you next time on 95.7 The Game.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.